Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 567, recording live on August the 7th, 2024. I'm your lead host in training tonight, Cowtown Tony.
Ooh, host in training, HIT? I'm Adriel.
Oh, and I'm Kelly, and we have no lineup here, so it means that. Okay, we'll just roll with
that. What do you mean we have no lineup?
Never mind.
Just scroll down.
I'm good.
Just some space.
Yeah.
We'll go with the document. We don't have a sponsor for what we did in guns, but we'll start with what we did in guns. We'll go with Adriel first.
Okay. I ordered some bullets for my 300 blackout and just some like heavy 200 grain stuff so I can do some, you know, subsonic with a little bit more oomph. And then I saw SFRC had a sale 15% off of pretty much everything over the long weekend. And I was like, oh,
they
know what I've been looking at is that FPC, that Smith & Wesson FPC. I wonder if it'll apply to that. And it did. So I bought one of them FPCs. I got the shipping notice today. So next week, maybe my next show, maybe not. It's
you should have asked me earlier. I would not recommend that.
Yeah. Why? Too much plastic?
No, just because Tristan, not SBI Tristan, our range, mm-hmm. Steel Challenge Tristan, had some problem with his. As in, if he applies too much force on the forehand, it can actually fold itself.
Oh, really?
So, like, maybe don't sling it when you're trying to maple seat because it might start folding.
Oh, so like the barrel and forend are completely, there's no free float in there. And if you look at the forend, it is clamshelled on there. So the barrel's going out, the forend is clamshelled onto the whole way down, clamshelled onto the barrel. It's a very cheap construction. Like M&P's done this for a couple of guns. Smith & Wesson. Smith & Wesson has done this for a couple of different firearms, and they're doing it on this one. It is very plasticky. The M&P 22. 1522, their AR, right. That thing was plastic fantastic, plastic everything, and this is plastic everything as well. I think I know what I'm getting myself into, lots of plastic. But, and yeah, you wouldn't want to sling it up, you definitely wouldn't want to shoot maple seed with it. It's, yeah, you'd pull it off target. Although, the scope, or your whatever optic you're running, you couldn't run a scope. Because it's too far forward. It is on the forend and not on the receiver, but it's plastic.
Mm. Ah, same as the sub 2000. What's plastic. The difference?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Well, I think for the FPC, I actually think it's better for mounting an optic. I think the optic mounting solution, because it doesn't have like a weird twist thing out of the way or the forend thing on the sub 2000. I don't really like that one either. Like it's the new Gen 3 one where you gotta like turn it a quarter and then put it together. I think the sub 2000, like if you look at it compared to the FPC, they both fold down. It looks like it's about the same, right? This one folds this way. This one folds this way. Who cares? But I think the sub 2000 is actually the more compact, better way to store that rifle. Cause if you put it in a case, it's not so thick, and thickness is really what like is going to lose you room in a backpack or a gun case or something like that. Right.
The best not analogy necessarily I can put the, it is it's more like a 1x4, not a 2x2. So
yeah,
you will fit a gun case because it's designed for flat ish. Object, it seems to be better. That was a consideration when I was looking into like side folding sub 2000 optics mount as well,
mm-hmm.
where the M Carbo one would be kind of like a magnifier that flips to the side, so you're adding bulk to the side of it. Mm-hmm. The Midwest industry is more like the how do you say, it folds to the left and then you fold it and then it folds back. So it saves you some space. So there's always a drawback. Again, folding guns, it's all pretty plasticky.
Yeah. I think for like a little lightweight red dot, the FPC is gonna be the better deal.
Yeah.
Whereas the Sub 2000 with a red dot on it, you can't quite fold it up, which isn't really that big of a deal. Like, I don't think I'm gonna fold it up when I put it in cases. I carry all my long guns in long gun cases, so I don't think I'm gonna use that aspect of it. I'm just curious. And like everyone does, after you buy the gun, then I went and looked at the reviews for it. And you don't look at it before you buy, right?
No. I have a trusted reviewer on YouTube that's called the Hunting Gear Guy. I love his content. You know,
I'm just complaining about something that I see so many other people doing when they go to my review. They've already bought the thing, and then they go to my review and they're like, "I don't like that. You don't like it." It's like, okay. So I went and looked at some reviews, and I noticed that there are a lot of like kind of crappy ones out there. And I think what happened is that Smith & Wesson sent out a bunch of TNC units out there. That's like tester units, right? They sent out free guns to a bunch of guys to review. They put an embargo on the publish date. That means like, okay, you guys get all these guns, but you can't talk about it until this date. So they all wait and hang on to it, and then they publish it. Because if you look on YouTube, like most of the reviews on this thing are all 11 to 12 months old. Exactly. There are very few that are newer than that. If you look at a lot of the most of the major gun channels, it looks like they got their review units. And I think that because they haven't updated their reviews recently, they lack extra context now that the gun's been on the market for a while. Because I think the things I've heard, I've actually heard really good things about it. I've heard good things about it in terms of durability over long run, over like lots and lots of rounds. I've heard better things for it than even for like the Ruger PC carbine, which can get a little bit, you know, sticky when it's had some rounds through it. So the reviews, I saw conflicting information as well. I saw some people saying you can't use the AR charging, like the overcharger. You can't just one hand it or one side it like you would with an AR. You have to go over the top. And then I saw another guy doing exactly that, and it worked. So I think that reviews were put out without a lot of attention, because people were just like, maybe they only had it for a couple of days or a week or something like that. And then they had to put this review out and get it out on time so that it's out with everyone else when they're doing the review, kind of a thing, right? So I'm looking forward to doing a more in-depth review. And one of the reviewers that I don't like all of his reviews, but I think his was the most thorough for this one was Such. Such's review on the FPC was way more in depth than everyone else. Everyone else, they didn't even take it apart. None of them even took the bolt out. At least he took the bolt out, and you can see like how the thing was made. But a lot of the other ones, none of the other ones I looked at did that. Some of them did like torture tests. Some of them shot like a bunch of rounds through it at steel that was like 5 meters away. Like really not useful stuff. Anywho, that's coming. Cabela's had a sale on today for their Wild Wednesday. They had large rifle primers. You could only get two sleeves, and shipping was atrocious. But if you do the local pickup, you don't pay for shipping. So I did the purchase online and pick up local kind of a thing. So I ordered two sleeves of large rifle primers. Because I need those. I have some, but I need more. I also have some large pistol, but no apparent use for those. Tony, this was actually on, I think this was on, I can't remember if it was on the NFA or if it was on the CCFR's Facebook page, but one of them had this note about if you go do your PAL course, you get this course report in Alberta, and I think in most of the country, you do it, we give you the course report right there. We mark it. We grade the theoretical, the written, the practical, and we give you the course report at the end of the day. So you get it, you take it home, you scan it and upload it to the government and do all that kind of stuff, right? In Ontario, you have to wait some portion of time. So it looks like for some people it might be shorter, some people it might be longer. The maximum wait time I heard was 4 to 6 weeks. It might be a little bit less than that on average. But one of the guy who was complaining was saying like, hey, it's been 4 weeks since I did this and I still haven't received my course report. Because for the guys in Ontario, they do the course, they wait this however many weeks, then they get the course report mailed to them, and then they can apply. So slow.
That would be correct. I think maybe Kelly have some, I don't know if when you did it, it was a thing, but I just recently convinced a friend to get his PAL. Yay. But too bad he is actually going to university again in a different city. So he probably can't have a gun. Anyway, so he did the whole process and correct. So their equivalent of a HIA, so to speak, will send you the course report weeks after you've done the course. I don't understand why, but it's just how they do it. So they basically have a 46-week mandatory wait period before the 4 weeks mandatory wait period. So like you just increased your application
time,
your whole process by one whole month. His is about 3 weeks. That was the estimate given to him, and it was about correct. But yeah, it could be up to two freaking months. So that's 3 months before the RCMP even touches your file, which seems crazy. But in comparison, for me doing the upgrade in Alberta, it was, what, like 28 days door-to-door, which is pretty good.
That was your time from like applying to getting your license in the mail?
Correct. But that's for upgrade. So there is no mandatory wait period for that. So that was pretty decent.
I mean, all the other, like all my other students who are doing their PAL course, they got theirs in 6 weeks is the average right now here in Alberta. That's from application to card in the mail.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I got some stuff in the mail. I might have bought some more things and I'm just forgetting about it. Actually, I'm pretty sure I did because I bought like a couple of my buddies were doing like group buys and that kind of thing. I threw a couple of extra things in
there. So. Spending money like this.
Like, well, there
don't
was,
know where like, I spend the money at, but I spend money. Yes.
Someone bought some stuff from True North Arms. It's like, oh, I bet you I could get some stuff from them. And they had those like nano brakes that I can put on the 300 blackout. So I was like, yeah, I'll get one of those. And then, yeah, I've got actually got a buddy of mine who has a Smith & Wesson M&P pistols and doesn't really shoot them. So I might borrow his mags. The idea with this FPC, one, to review it. And the other is maybe if I can convince my older son to use that instead of my 223 for three gun, I'll have my ammunition costs because my 9mm is like wages. It's less than half the cost of my 223.
You got to teach him how to reload. There's your problem. You want to shoot? You got to make your own ammo. Here's the components. Make him, go.
No. He'll just reload squibs and blow the thing up.
It's not, well, honest, where it'll be or on my low master, it's pretty simple. I just lean in, put a bullet, do it again, just repeat it. I don't know. Knock on wood, fingers crossed. I haven't done it yet. I haven't blew myself up yet.
Just a matter of time. Anyways, that's it for me. How much you shot?
I've shot factory squibs. Well, not factory, but remanned ammo squibs. I haven't shot my own squibs yet. Just like Adriel, I bought some stuff from SFRC. 6.5 54 Mannlicher Schoenhauer stuff. Got some bullets, got some powder. I went with pretty much the cheapest powder you can get for that's recommended for 54 MS H380, I believe it's what it is.
That's the cheapest right now. I was blown away by how much cartridge. The 3031 was costing right now because 3031 is like an old powder and it's so expensive right now.
I forgot if the 3031 is considered as a part of the Extreme series of powders, which basically you couldn't touch under $75, I want to say. So like $48.95. I think 3031 might be
Varget.
Yeah, Varget too. I've for 223 I'm mostly loading H335, CFE223. When Cabela's had the blowout on the Ram TAC, I got some Ram TAC as well. So that's been working fine so far. I didn't do much shooting. Mounted the Golden Eagle on the Mossberg MVP 223 again. Biggest scope for the smallest gun. So also was the sunshade. It's great. I haven't taken out shooting yet, but hopefully soon I can. I don't know. You can see a lot more stuff in your community. I live next to a ravine, so it's like, oh, on the other side of the ravine, like a mile away, there's a picnic table. It's like, okay, that's cool. So things like that. it's very hard to handhold. Like the iBox is very, very, very tight. Sold a gun. I sold a lever gun. I never shot. It's a Rossi. And I think they might have designed the box very cleverly. The box, the external diameter is 99 centimeters. So it just squeezes under the Canada Post oversized category. And the RCMP multi-factor authentication was a chore. Oh my God, you got to do your GC key login, which now you have to MFA for that. So you go into your app, and then you have to log in for IWS, individual web service. And then you have a MFA for that on your email. And then you have to put in your date of birth and your PAL number and the place of your birth.
And, and for whatever reason, the password rememberer doesn't do that part properly.
No, I think it only remembers.
Mine screws it all up.
Yeah, I don't think mine remembers my PAL number, but still, like, that's, I need to put in 5 passwords just to verify someone's PAL. No wonder people are not, like, willing to comply with, like, this is way too much work. Make it easy. Like, I don't know. Like, why is this
since when? Since when did you know the government to make anything easy, especially for gun owners?
Well, isn't ATT attached to your license a thing? That wasn't a thing. I thought
it was a thing, but the since
it's still a thing. You can still get your to the range and back attached.
Correct. I never experienced the registry, so.
Oh, that was a pain.
I dodged that. So maybe that, I don't know, maybe that's something, I guess. And I found in the individual web service, now you have options to get your ATT online. I don't have a restricted, so it doesn't really apply to me, but I think it's pretty fresh. I don't recall seeing that like 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
So that's
interesting. I used it for my PAL instructor ATT. I filled in the stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's me. I do this. And then I got
it. I thought you'd get a long term for that, though. Oh, you can request long terms on there, too.
Yeah. I got until my license expires, and it covers any restricted guns I need to use for the course to anywhere I need to go to the course.
But they have to be disabled. Is that a requirement?
No. No, that's not a requirement. It's just for a course gun. Course guns.
Maybe when I have a restricted, I'll use that. Seems so far away, though. Yikes. Maybe I'll get... There's still not... I guess this will become a weekly report. There's still no restricted FX9 in the country at the moment, so... Not yet. I don't know. Am I going to try to shoot my K9 for the last time as a send-off, maybe, just to test it before I either archive it or get rid of it? So,
Yeah, it's still giving issues, right?
Oh, I forgot to bring it on the show. I'll show it next time before I clean it. It's like the whole slide was the holographic effect. It's a rare Pokemon.
Just because from galling and that kind of thing?
Not from a galling. Well, galling is on the bottom of the bowl, but like just blowback coming out the sides.
Mm-hmm.
Like flame paint on the side. Anyway, that's about it. Yeah, might go to the range this week. We'll see about that on the weekend. Cool. Kelly, what about you?
I did not go to the range this past week, but I did a bunch of things. So I did head out to the Maple Seed Locker, where we have all of our targets and everything stored. And it was an interesting traveling experience. I went to go and open up the storage locker and only opened up a foot and a half. And it would not open any further because some of the targets, the boxes got moist and it fell against the door. So it blocked it. So what I did to rectify that was I got on my hands and knees and crawled through the space. I'm sure with all the cameras that were around that the people in the office were probably either thinking I was breaking into the joint or they were laughing their ass off at me. I made friends with 3 spiders that were right in my face when I crawled through, and they did not bite me, which was nice of them. But so I did crawl through and I took some of the targets and I moved them around. So I was able to open the entire rolling door, and it made it much easier for me to grab everything that I needed, which I did. And I haven't been out there in a while because I was smart. The last time I was there, I loaded up the back of my SUV and drove it all here to my house and just stored it downstairs in the basement. So I'm doing the exact same thing. I loaded up the back of my SUV and I brought it home. I did a whole bunch with some of our new shoot bosses, which is awesome. I chatted with a couple of people about our KD that's going to be happening, and we opened that up. So thank you, Adriel, for sending that out. If people are interested in that, it looks like we're selling spots for that. I am booked for this weekend. I'm going to be going to Cornwall as well as Smith Falls. So Saturday, I'm going to be Cornwall and Smith Falls. I'm going to be in Smith Falls. The other thing that I did also was we were talking last night on She Shoots. We're going to be having our She Shoots podcast. We're going to be having that on Tuesday, and we're having the crew from Apex come on. So we're going to see Carly and Vanja come on, talk about being an optics company here in Canada and being also a couple and how they broke into the market and how it's going for them. So I'm looking forward to that. What else? Did we talk about this last week? I don't think we did because I just checked. I think it was Monday. It's the 7th. So it was 5 days ago. Yeah. Okay. So I was successful in the antler list I was able to get my doe tag this year. So Kelly Kincaid, Kyle Kincaid, myself, we're going to be doing our annual deer hunting camp / at the Kincaid Ranch. We're going to be going in and doing that. So I've booked that all up. We're going to be able to either do a doe or we're going to be able to do bucks because we all have our doe tags this year, which is awesome because last year there was a challenge with that. Neither Kyle nor Kelly had their doe tags. The other thing that I did was I also got booked to do a handgun. It's the local at SRPC, my local club. Me and Kelly, we got booked for the local club level ATT handgun course. Yeah. So we still run in those so that people can come and all that. I think we only got about 4. So it looks like it's slowing down a little bit. It might be because of the fact that less people have handguns. Not might be. It is because of the fact that less people have handguns. So I did book that. I'm going to be doing that on the 8th of July. July has already passed. September. And my whole entire month of August and September and pretty much October now has been booked. I'm also booked for EOSC. So it looks like we're going to be doing Ladies Day in EOSC. I think we're going to be doing it October 5th. So, yep, if you want me for anything, don't ask because I'm booked. One more thing. I just want to say hi to Jason Gallen. He's watching. He said, give me a shout out. So I want to give him a shout out just in case he leaves before the end of the show when we get to the shout outs. And there's Luke Gadan as well. He's chatting. So everybody in New Brunswick's watching. So hello, everybody. And that's it for me, I think. I did not shoot, unfortunately. Okay.
Awesome. But you'll be supervising for 2 whole days.
Yes. Maybe I will shoot this weekend.
Don't forget sunblock. What else?
Well, I ordered the good weather this time, so it wasn't, scorching 40 degrees, which it's not supposed to be. It's only supposed to be sunny on 24 degrees on Saturday and 22 with a minor chance of rain on Sunday.
It's like golf-sized hail balls. Like, was it? Yes. No, it was over the weekend in Calgary.
I heard that the Calgary airport even was not doing domestic. That there was a flood. The roof was gone.
Something about Calgary. The northeast side seems to be affected the most with hail. And it seems to be, at least the 10 years I've been here, it seems to be a pattern.
It's called the mountains.
Well, that's away from the mountains, so
no, I don't know, when maybe it comes
that's
in.
That's something. Kyle's on the road, enjoying the view. Maybe he'll post something on Discord. We'll see about that. Dustin, rumor has it, has became the new armor for Rust, so we'll see how he makes out for that. Upcoming events. Adriel will do the three-gun matches, I'm assuming, because Kyle isn't here.
Yeah. This weekend here, Sherwood Park, multi-gun. That's August 10th. There's still swats available for that. It's on practice score. September 6th, that's Canadian multi-gun series at Guelph. September 7th, that's the start of the Chaz three-gun Battle of Alberta. That's a two-and-a-half-day, really, event out at Chaz. CDTSA is running one on September 8th. September 21st, Sherwood Park's running another one, multi-gun. September 28th, weekend after, is the MP3G team match. That's the two-day match up in Peace River. And, yeah, that's good enough.
And Kelly for the Maple Seeds.
Sure.
There's
so
two coming up on the weekend. I know that.
Yeah. So on our website, Cornwall says it's sold out, and there's a link for, or this is for Saturday. It looks like somebody dropped out tonight. So if anybody is listening and they want to attend the event, you can go and sign up for it, because we do have one spot available. Smith Falls, which is on August 11th here in Ontario as well. It is not full. There's still two more spaces available, so go and register for that. August 17th, Chaz. It looks like
one spot. There's
one spot. So we're going to the finals here. That's the Dribs and Drabs that are available. August 20th, Nanaimo Fish and Game. There is spots available. Bonneville. It looks like last week you were talking, mm-hmm. or was it last week or the week before that you were talking about that it's selling really well, but it still looks like there's a couple of spots there.
Ten spots out of 15. It's doing pretty well. Yeah.
I wonder what's going on with Tabor. The link's not there, so it must be still with the club.
I'll ask Steve if I can put the link there.
Yeah, because I think Tabor, which is August 26th, if we can get the link up and out to everybody, typically does not sell out. So you can also, if you're around that area, you can go and shoot there. August 31st in Lloydminster, it's really at risk to be canceled. There's only a couple of people who signed up for it, so go out to that one. September 7th. I got August on the brain. And July. September 7th, which is our Lady Seed for Blue Ridge, which is Blue Mountain, Ontario. Go to that one if you're a lady, or share it with other people. We have a bunch of ladies that signed up. There's still a couple of spots that are available for that. September 14th, Sherwood Park. It's got spots available. The September 15th, Sherwood Park, ladies only. I think it's pretty much sold out-ish. It's within the club, and I think they've sold it out, but I will be there. Maybe even Nadri will be there. So come out and see us. And then I'm just going to finish out September. September 21st is Broken River, a game and fish. It's going to be opening soon. September 26th, Lone Butte, women's only. I will not be there. That one's going to be with Darren Ostapowicz. So go on out to that. It's in BC. And September 28th, you got Chaz. And the two that I want to end on are September 28th, also at CFP Borden, which is a regular 25 meters Maple Seed. It's a regular event. You can sign up for that. There's still a couple of spots that are available, but we're almost sold out of that. September 29th is our known distance here in Ontario. It's going to be a CFP Borden as well. You have to be a rifleman to attend. We are about halfway sold out of that, but come out and see us, because there's going to be really cool people at this one. You're going to be able to see myself. You're going to be able to see Rick. I'm including myself and the cool people, by the way. You'll be able to see myself. You'll be able to see Rick, as well as Dave Cracky, Random Dave from the show, and then a couple other people. So come on out and see us. There's some really good shooters as well. We'd love to have you. That's it for Project Maple Seed until the end of September, awesome. Anyways.
What about HGG firearm training? Still any spots?
I got some spots for the restricted one this weekend. That's on the 11th. The non-restricted one is full.
Sounds good. I guess there's a new segment since I'm here, because I guess I'm the steward of BTSA for this program. Annie Oakley Day coming up this Saturday.
All right.
Women's Program 2024 at the BTSA. I believe today is the last day to register. So if you're listening live, go check it out. I believe there are still like three spots left. And the following Sunday, Steel Challenge Weekend Match, all eight stages at the BTSA as well. So that's it for upcoming. I guess I have a side non-gun related upcoming events. Remember the Calgary water main break? I suspected at the time, it's like, that pipe must have reached its end of its service life. We had a break, catastrophic failure. In the 300 meters that it inspected, there are five more hotspots. They said they found like 10 more now. So they're going to plan and shut that down, return us back into stage four, which is the maximum you can go for water saving. And yeah, so your lawn is very dead.
Move to a better city. Move to a city that has like functioning water pipes.
Yeah, I have to track my parents around. It's really annoying. I would have moved to Edmonton in a heartbeat.
Oh, Edmonton's not a better city than Calgary. It's more affordable. You could buy a house here.
Which is better. And you got great ranges there.
We have good water. We're not going to run out. Our rivers, our water's set. It's not like Calgary where, you know, you guys are going to be constantly in drought conditions for the next, you know, 50 years.
There's water or not. Depends. Okay, going to the news. The first one would be a video from Grand Thumb. Maybe don't drop your 20/1911, especially safety off, muzzle down. It seems that the inertia of the firing pin can, and in their testing, very likely was set off the round in the chamber, despite the hammer not even following
sometimes they had the hammer fall, but the half cock would catch it. So you can have light really trigger.
The hammer. It's just the firing
pin. Yes, I saw just
someone
the inertia
had
pin.
A titanium firing pin of sorts or something. Well, maybe it's not a 1911 anyway. Don't drop your gun. Everything else, even P320 seems fine. They seem to got over their drop and explode. Toss it like a hand grenade issue. I don't know. So maybe the Canadian forces are safe now. That could be. TACCOM is coming up September 6th, 7th, and 8th in Mississauga. I believe that's a yearly, SHOT Show annual. Of Canada, so to speak. Yeah, annual event.
It's an annual event, and it's on the same weekend every year. Oh, right. And I always book something that weekend. Yeah.
Awesome. I bet you will be able to see some of our hosts here at TACCOM. I think Random Dave always go.
Nope. Dave goes for the ORA. I may be able to go on the Thursday. I definitely am not able to go on the Saturday because it's Ladies' Day in Collingwood. And Sunday I'm doing the handgun course here. So I'm not going to be at it for the Saturday and the Sunday.
But if you're in the area, go check it out.
Yeah.
Another YouTube video. Can you dance with rifles at a wedding? This came from our favorite lawyer, Ronkoff de Bailey. And he found out it's Canada before the vast majority of people, just because he noticed there's a pin on the side of the magazine, which is very, very Canadian. Let's put it that way. And he went into detail. I'm not going to spoil it. Neither do I have the legal know-how to on which charges may be applied for at least what appears to be a very careless manner of handling firearms. I'm not sure if it's probably not in a public space, but.
Okay, so to review. So can you dance with a rifle? Is it a loaded rifle? Because I didn't watch this,
obviously.
We don't know.
We don't know, and the prosecution would have to prove it was or wasn't.
Correct. Was this within Canada or is it in the U.S.?
Within Canada.
Okay, so our laws would be applicable. Correct.
I think it would have been fine if the PAL owner was within arm's reach.
Was everyone, though? There's like a whole circle.
No,
they
were.
Maybe I'm in the middle?
So, I don't know. As long as there's one PAL owner, within arm's reach, you're good to go.
Maybe.
Ish.
Maybe. Like, is this careless use of a firearm? I don't know. That's a pretty subjective charge, isn't it? Yeah. They could throw that at anyone, right?
Well, he did mention that pointing a firearm doesn't matter if it's loaded or unloaded.
They're pointing it in the air, but, you know.
Were they pointing at other people? No.
No.
There's some careless.
Were they aware of what was beyond?
No.
So we're going into semantics here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, was anything, in my opinion, was anything Canadian firearm related? The law is very vague, intentionally or not. I'm not going to speculate, but that's just how I feel about it. Last but not least, big news coming from was a division of Smith & Wesson, no longer a division of Smith & Wesson. Thompson Center is making a return as a firearm manufacturer. I was late to this news. I saw some of the earlier video that came out. It's actually about 3 months since they've released this initially. And I didn't even know Thompson Center was like dead. But I guess when I started to know them, they're already kind of neglected in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I only learned more about them like for a TC contender from Diversity Dave. Mm-hmm. The first gun I known from them was the TC Compass, so like simple hunting bolt gun type of thing. But the new owner is Greg Ritz. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. And he was a CEO of TC in the mid-2000s, continues to be the executive, a high-level manager of the hunting division of Smith & Wesson. So he's got quite a bit of the background in running Thompson Center and, well, what Thompson Center has became. So they're kind of returning it to its roots. From what I understand, Greg is also a New Hampshire. Oh, God, English. He was originally from New Hampshire, and Thompson Center is from New Hampshire. I will recommend the video by Thompson Center Arms on YouTube, and they have a pretty in-depth look at the process of buying out a company and moving it back to where it's from Massachusetts. So originally the factory was in New Hampshire. They moved to Massachusetts to join Smith & Wesson. Smith & Wesson moved to Tennessee. So they're just, I don't know. I think there's still maybe like a historical building for Smith & Wesson that's still in Massachusetts. I'm not too...
That video was primarily like them showing off a bunch of old guns that were like, oh, this is the first one of this, or this is a really unique thing of that. It's like, yeah, who cares? Like, you know, when are you going to get this thing up and running and, you know, start doing stuff again?
Still pretty cool, though. I've heard they're going to start selling parts and accessories fall of this year, mm-hmm. and full guns should be coming out in 2025. But here's the odd thing. In the video, they've also shown how much work in progress parts they have, serialized receivers, barreled actions. Like, you killed this brand, but you have so much inventory left. I don't know. Maybe I'm not in that business, so I wouldn't know. Maybe it's for warranty purposes, things like that.
Yeah.
But
so I would bet that's what it's for.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm somewhat in the market for break action, well, single shot hunting gun, so maybe. Hmm. I'll pick one up. We'll see. I'll say the Thompson Center contenders, in comparison to, for example, the CVAs, the Henrys, they do look kind of fancy. So
they're better. Just straight up. I had an Encore. I had an Encore in 7mm.08, and it was amazing. Like really super solid. Like I felt like just one big chunk of steel, and I really liked it. But I just change guns all the time. If I just had to shoot with one gun, though, that would have been fine.
Here's a question.
You don't need more than one shot.
What gun have you held on to the longest?
I have my grandma's 22 here. That's probably it.
That you have bought. That doesn't have any connection to your family, per se.
I have to get back to you on that. Maybe 10 years. Maybe 10 years.
Guns. Don't even remember. If you're interested in contender barrels, Encore barrels, Thompson Center parts, blah, 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 or if you're looking into buying a new production Thompson Center, stay tuned. So that'll be interesting. That's pretty much it for the news. Going to new gun stuff brought to you by Bullseye Norse. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye Norse is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR with a wide selection of gun and top trending gear for any shooters. Free shipping over $250, which includes ammunition. Some condition would apply, such as oversized or remote areas. They also have $17 flat rate shipping for orders below $250. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get the first access to the hottest deals. And this week, I guess I'll let Adriel do the screen share thing.
Yeah.
They have the very fancy, in my opinion, CZUSA Sharptail side-by-side break action shotgun 410. I believe it's a single trigger. Very fancy. If you want a fancy 410 side-by-side
improved cylinder, shotgun. Modified choke, 28-inch barrel, 5.9 pounds. That's pretty light for a double barrel. But, I mean, it would have to be a 410, right? And yeah. $1,700.
Well, if you've subscribed to the whole shooting expensive ammo thing, it's perfect. And then I have this is an additional model of the Daria TM22 lever action. They started with a traditional looking wood stock.
Laminate.
One, or you can get a one that's tactical looking black. This one is the green laminate, again with the detachable magazine. I think this is probably the best balance in the models. I don't know, maybe just the whole magazine sticking on the bottom thing with the lever gun doesn't really work.
Have we talked about why they still have the mag tube on these things?
We discussed about it. I don't think we came to a conclusion on that.
Why do they have that on there? Can you remove it?
For some reason, I saw it in the CFE Discord. Someone said you could.
I think you could.
But it was like a chore. So.
Yeah. Pull that bit off. Pull that bit off. Pull the stock off. Unscrew it from the receiver here. Away you go.
Mr. Dremel Master.
God. You're good.
Anyway. That will be. I already have a 22 lever gun, but. This would be my prime pick, just so you don't have to load from the front, which seems first risky, second not very friendly for beginners, since you just top up the magazines and away you go. So I think that was pretty cool. I think the other stuff are from Adriel.
Yeah, Iron Guns has the PS90s on sale for $15.99.
That seems pretty cheap. I remember CSC had them. For more, like 28 or something. But still, my question is still, this is the wrong length. You got to make it either short or you got to make it long. This is like in between.
And
it's not correct to the real thing, which is SBR.
It's because it's US. It's 16-inch barrel. If you want the correct length, either long or short, you're going to pay like a lot more. This is $2,200 Canadian.
I forgot who made short barrels. I guess you could rebarrel them here.
Yeah.
But then you have to, barrels aren't
controlled. You could verify.
Yeah.
You could verify this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it worked, though.
I guess.
Yeah. I think your Cabela's head.
Yeah, correct.
Cabela's had like large rifle primers, which was kind of news. And then they had Barnes bullets for sale. And then, Ely and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know they had Ely ammo to start. This is actually price competitive on sale anyway. The Ely 22 clip, so pretty standard match grade 22 ammo. If you're shooting ORPS, CRPS, things like that, you might be interested in this. It's not much cheaper than other retailers, but if you are close to one, you have the option to pick it up. So it. For new gun stuff, let's go to our main topic.
All right.
Which is this list of firearms and stuff available for compensation, aka what's in the buyback. I'm going to pull it up and we're going to bitch in.
I'm going to ask before we do that. Available for compensation.
Yes. If they're not in there, They're just going to take it and you don't get any money.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So let's list of firearms eligible for the buyback.
Let's go through the devices because that one's shorter.
Okay.
Devices is real short. AR uppers and lowers. Of any stripped, not stripped, assembled, blank, they're all in here. An odd distinction is the distinct like blank AR-15 or M4 or M16-4, M16-3, M16-2, M16-1. I don't really know why they're doing that.
Isn't -4, well, first is it called a -4 or the A4? I thought it's called A4.
But we don't have those here anyway.
Yeah, so true. But like
M16A4s.
Like the A4 would have been a burst. No, A4 would be the fall of gun. I thought that what the A2
stuff we can't have
fire
here.
Gun. Anyway,
none of the stuff we can have here.
The prohib regardless, don't matter.
Yeah. Anyways.
So this list was updated as of the 7th. So it was updated as of today, but I think that's do it every day. So before we do go further any further, so the buyback, we do have to acknowledge that there is no money for the buyback currently right now. Also, more information will be provided in due course on compensation amounts for businesses, individuals, methods to turn in eligible prohibited firearms and devices, and how to participate in the program. So right now, we're just bitching and moaning about a bunch of guns that have been listed on this, but there is no plan in place, or there is no amounts, or there is also no...
Said that they wanted to do it in 2025.
Right. In 2025. Right. So, yeah. So let's see what happens with our... Yep, okay. Let's go forward.
Look at the guns. It's bitch and moan about those.
Right. Cool.
Ruger Mini 30s and Mini 14s and other names for them. Weatherby Mark 5s. All of them.
Hunting gun on literally the fourth line. The fourth line,
and not just the ones that are 460 Weatherby, all of them.
That's an interesting thing I want to talk to you guys too about. It is, for example, I pulled up the crazy freaking document that the RCMP provides you, because it's like a PDF that's how many pages, like 100,000 pages or 10,000 pages
long.
It's 200 freaking megabytes. Like the Adobe official PDF viewer can't even handle the search function. I was trying to search by FRN, the firearm reference numbers. Won't do it.
You got to use Armalytics. You have to use Armalytics. A private company has stepped in.
Won't give me the page number, but anyway. So I found with the glossary thing, the 3079 FRN, so on screen here, Weatherby Mark V Deluxe, this specific model made in Japan by Hawa. And this is the interesting part. On the website, Canada.ca only says 3079, but for the FRN, only the 3079-5 and -6 are chambered for 460 Weatherby and are listed as prohib. So here's the issue. Why on the website it doesn't say 3079-5 or -6? It says the whole thing. So I think if I'm reading this, I would say the whole Mark V series built by Hawa would be eliminated. And to be honest, how do you kill only the 460 Weatherbys? Because first, they're official by Weatherby. So
no, they're just killing them all. Any of the models that would take 460 Weatherby get
even if
this.
You argue that they're only going to take the 460 Weatherbys, it's only a barrel swap away from becoming a prohib.
Which is technically all guns, but anyways,
yeah. True, but.
Yep. What else we got in here? Continental One. I've never heard of it. Imperial Magnum Sovereign. This sounds like these are probably some fancy elephant guns, right?
From England.
89 African. Yeah, that sounds big. Haim Express. That sounds like a shoulder buster. DP64. I think this is a grenade launcher. I think I looked this up. It's a grenade launcher.
Why is it called a Russian service?
Because it's a Russian army rifle, or whatever. Here,
also some manufacturer listed as recoilless rifle. Like, what does that?
It's a grenade launcher. I don't think we have those here. I don't think we have this firearm in Canada. There's an FRT, so maybe someone imported one at one point, or maybe like a museum has one or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
Here's a question: does it include a buttmaster?
Nope.
Oh, really? You searched? Okay. Okay.
No, well, it doesn't.
It's always a prohib, so it doesn't matter.
Let's see. Recoilless rifles. Yeah, recoilless rifles. Like, are you sure? Like, this is something that needs to be in here? But I think with more than 20 millimeter bore or over 10,000 joules. And that's a lot of these. Like, you look down here, Azerbaijani sniper rifle. You gotta be serious. Like, why is this in here? Anyways, that's a 12.7. That's a big round. Rocket launcher P27. I don't think like people were knocking over gas stations with this stuff before, but you know.
Did Canada ever had Boyd's rifle? The British anti-tank rifle from World War
I want to say two? Yes. Well, the other thing is you could get, now this is going back a while, but you could get the Russian PTRS and PTRD. And those are big honking anti-tank guns. So, yes, we had that kind of stuff. As well as 50 BMGs and all that kind of stuff. A bunch of Colts. What else we got here? Some recoilless rifles. Some other stuff. You're looking here. There's a lot of stuff where it's like hunting rifles and rocket launchers. Oh, Tony, sorry. Your FIM 92 Stinger. It's prohib.
What do you mean? I want to go against tyranny. I want to use my anti helicopter device. You know, the police, they at my door. What do I do?
Stop locking onto the commercial airliners. Yeah, anyways, those are now prohibited.
Were they not prohibited?
I guess maybe
launcher wasn't. You just can't have the. Yeah, you can't have the.
But the launcher would have.
You can still lock onto things. It's going to make noises, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there's components on that launcher that would be under other regulations, radar emissions and that kind of thing. Because like even if you could own one of these before, which I don't think you could, locking onto, that'd be a fun day at the airport or whatever, right? But
I don't think. Well, only the military jets would have detection mechanism, I think.
Yeah, and they would. They have missiles that can find the thing that detects. Anyways, you know, who cares? Aero precision,
just pistol.
So that's their
probably AR the AR. Pistol. Yeah, the AR pistol.
Yeah. Yada yada, Armalite, Colt stuff, PSA, Partis. Okay, so this is not an AR.
No,
that's a shotgun.
Yeah. Partis makes shotguns. They don't make ARs. This is a shotgun. AR platform, though, according to them. Ultra match.
RPG, man. Yeah. Favorites.
Not my
RPG. What are we going to put on the back of our Toyota Hilux now?
Purdy double barrel. Now, I would be pissed if I had a Purdy and it got prohibed and the government demanded to buy it back. What are they going to pay? Are they going to pay the $100,000 that these things cost?
Just ask Jim Shockey. He would know.
Yeah.
Parker Brothers. Oh boy, I'm not anywhere here. I thought I was like getting down to the S's and M's. I thought it was in the middle here.
M14s. Yeah, ARs.
Type 84, DPMS. Lots of those. Which Rugers? Number one. The number one. The whole series of them. It's a single shot.
Yep.
Falling block rifle. That's a very classic looking hunting rifle.
I'm surprised the TC Contender is on the list. I don't think so. Did like no one try to blow one up?
No Encore. Contender?
How big is the Encore?
No Contender. It's bigger than the...
No, I know, but like how big do they make it?
Well, like 300 Win Mag and all that kind of stuff.
It's not big enough. Maybe to you, be big. 460. Yeah.
460 Weatherby is just another barrel, right? Mossberg. Let's see what Mossberg has. There's the 702 Plinkster Tactical 22. It's a very specific one. MMR Tactical, MMR Hunter, Sub-15 Tactical, Sub-15P, Sub-15P Duck Commander.
The Duck Commander. What?
Mossberg makes all kinds of weird, like, trim levels of these things. Yeah. H&K. U.S. Mortar. XM224E3. This stuff's ridiculous. No one has this crap. It's like an
experimental thing. How would you have it?
The only place I can find this is in our regulations. The law. Grenade. Whoops. Let's try that again.
I saw it's a smart grenade launcher.
Yeah, it's some prototype, it looks like. Double barrel grenade launchers, prototype grenade launchers, ARs. I would imagine the most of these are Macmillan M1As.
Narengo it's a CQA. Yeah.
Too bad. $699, $650, depending when you bought one of those things.
Never had one. I probably don't want one either.
No, they're great. They're solid. They had a couple parts that were not quite like compatible, but for the most part, like you could swap things out. Anderson CZ858. That is too bad. SimOS Noreen. Although these guys make some big rifles.
50 BMG. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I recommend Kyle getting. I think it's a turnbull. It's not a screw on. I don't trust screws.
Underbarrel grenade launchers.
Grenade launcher.
Polish underbarrel grenade launchers.
Matches great with your Prohib AK. Yeah.
So I bet that what they're going to do is they're going to say the conservatives are going to put grenade launchers back on our streets. And RPG-7s.
Oh, that's great.
This bill was banning the zombie. Oh, that's very early 2000s. And you know, Polish grenade launchers and the CPC are going to put them back on our streets. Yeah, anywho, well. Yeah. If you want to see if your firearm's on the list, go take a look. And it's already been out. Like this is all kind of been pre-said. This is just more official. This is all the
or
stuff.
Or just use Armalytics. Search for it. It will give you a yellow line that says affected by ban. Mm-hmm. Very handy. Also, listen back to our episode where we had the creator of Armalytics on the show.
This says AR platform, A Adler J220. But when I Google it, I get a shotgun. Weird. Must be a mistake, hey?
Well, is the Gen 12 technically not an AR platform?
This is not an AR platform.
No.
They're but like, it uses the takedown pins. Must be an AR platform. Pins.
It has a carry handle. That was really their biggest sin. Was it's got a carry handle.
Yep.
And that's it. You use a carry handle.
Most AR-15s don't even have carry handles anymore.
If it's got a carry handle, if it's got a stock that goes up, any of those things. Anyways. Yeah, if you are like blitz drunk and you squint kind of look at it and it looks like an AR-15. Anyway, it's probably about enough bitching and complaining about that list.
That's amazing. All right, let's go to listener feedback. Let's go to the live interaction first. I saw a few. First, Luke confirmed that when he took his NR course in New Brunswick, they give you the test results right away. So I'm guessing that's the majority, and the Ontario way is not the majority. Richard Lee saying we must be due
for... No, we get our results right away, too. Like, well, when I did it, we got our results right away, and...
I'm guessing not anymore.
That's not the way it is anymore.
Okay, well, I'm old.
It wasn't that long ago, Kelly. You were
challenge our pals. I would have done that if I could.
When I took my pal, you could no longer challenge the... You could no longer challenge.
You were on a show called New Shooter Canada not that long... Well, not that long ago. 7 years ago? 8 years ago? Maybe it was.
Where did that show go? I've heard about it like once and two.
Longer.
Twice.
Yeah, longer.
Yeah, it's almost 10 years ago.
Not so new then.
No.
Not so new anymore.
10 years ago.
Island Rend was asking about running steel mags and what to run for the Shadow 2. I've got some personal experience with this. So I'm going to give my 2 cents on it. I would recommend only the Mekgar metal body mags. This is one that's what you'd get from the factory or from the Mekgar place. I wouldn't get the half plastic ones, mostly because it's just another thing to break. These ones you can also put base plates on if you want. I have my Shadow 2 set up for 3 guns, so I've got the magwell on it, which means that these original ones don't actually seat. That looks like it's seated, but it's not actually seated in there. So what you need instead of one of those is you need a smaller mag base that's a little bit longer, so it gives you something to stick out and actually like grab onto as it goes into the gun. So I would recommend something like that instead of the plastic.
Are we not on YouTube?
Shh, I just remembered. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Look away. All right. And yeah, Richard mentioned we should have Galleon back on the show. And
where did he say that? I don't see that.
Facebook comments. I don't recall watching him on the show except for the Big 500. That I remember he was on. And at the CCFR AGM, I saw him there.
Mm-hmm.
Emails. Do we have any emails? I did not check.
Well, Tony, you didn't write us an email, so no.
Okay, so no emails then. And Adriel is supposed to do YouTube comments live. We should have YouTube comments.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I can pull those up. I was just looking at her email, but yeah, there's nothing there. On the, let's see. Oh, they're all from Eddie. Eddie's been picking up the slack for you, Tony. Simplified classifications is too much to ask for. I want suppressors, CCW, and full autos too. Oh, and I forgot to mention standard and high capacity magazines. That'd be very nice. Odd that Tenda doesn't ship powder anymore, but ship primers. Both are dangerous goods, and I believe primers are more dangerous due to their impact, sensitivity to impact and static shock. Does anyone know of instances of powder going off while in transit? Seems like shipping companies are making mountains out of molehills. I'm sure it's just a liability thing. But powder by itself is pretty hard to ignite. You need to light those little plastic bottles up, and they need to light up and burn and let some fuel
in. It's not black powder. It's smokeless, but
even black powder is kind of hard to light.
Did he mention that they're still shipping primers?
I don't know. I think they are.
Last time I checked, which is like a year ago, they were, but
yeah. But not powder.
But not powder.
No. Dustin, does your firearms business have a full auto license? If so, are you allowed to convert firearms to shoot live ammunition and test them out at the range? If you don't mind telling, who's the original Vancouver movie armor you spoke of? I'll have to get Dustin to answer some of those questions.
That. Keep that on for next week.
If he did his job correctly on the quote-unquote Rust set and did not get double killed.
Yeah, and he also says, Tony, the problem you described with your scopes for Maple Seed seems to be an eye box or eye relief issue. You may also have parallax issues if you're not using a rimfire-specific scope. Rimfire scopes typically have a parallax set at 50 yards instead of 100 or 150, correct, and have finer crosshairs for smaller targets. Another solution is to get a scope with an adjustable objective and set it to the proper distance. My preference are the loopholed rimfire scopes. Rick from Maple Seed is also a fan of loopholed. You can still write in the long emails, but you might now have to end up reading your own emails to us.
Ah, that's fine. Yes, because the first scope I shot was the Vortex Diamondback Tacticals 3-9, which is a rifle scope. It's not designed for rimfire. It doesn't have adjustable objective or parallax. The 6-24 Diamondback Tactical does, so mm-hmm. I was able to see the target that time. I just suck with a rimfire gun. So now I have more magnification, hopefully more accuracy out of this gun. I need to test it. Maybe I need to load up myself some 77 or 69 grain 223 ammo. And I do have which I don't know, maybe the madman at Vortex is as crazy as I am. The objective actually goes down to 20 yards for a 15 to 60 power scope. So yeah, I don't know. I need to stick a target there and see how big it will appear. Maybe like the wobble will actually get me like to the next target kind of thing. It, don't know. I'm going to shoot, if there's a known distance in Western Canada, I'm going to shoot that was this.
I think that's a good rifle to use.
Or the pump action, but the pump action will be hard to run with a sling in the front. So
yeah,
maybe I'll make a shot, use my right hand, pump it. But then what's the point anyway? Maybe. Well, we'll see. Maybe I need a more generous time slot.
Cool. Next, great. From Eddie. Great to see Tony and Dustin as the new hosts. The add diversity and more Western Canadian flavor to the show. Now, if Trevor or Matthew came back, we would have hosts from coast to coast.
The coast.
The very next comment is from Trevor. Smooth like butter, Dustin. Hee hee. Eddie was asking if there was an inside joke there. Trevor says nope. Tony's comment, late for work day one. That's okay. They'll just dock your pay.
Yeah.
Or pay up nothing. And that's all of them.
Yep.
I don't see anything from Facebook reviews, Instagram. We haven't posted in a while. Discord, it's mostly ourselves at the moment, but join us at our Discord channel. Finally, we have what people bought from our Cabela's and Brownells link. It was a 2-pack of combination lock from Magnum, a men's hockey breacher.
I think it's like a sweater or something.
Plasma lighter, Pursuit camel armchair. Cool. And I guess from Brownells, there's way more cool stuff. A BCM gunfighter M-Lock CAG.
KG? I don't know what it is. I tried looking it up before the show. I couldn't find it.
Okay. And then a carrier key staker. Huh, interesting. Did you stake your carrier key, the gas key, on your Raven?
Okay.
I may have. Yes. Yes. I used center punch.
Oh.
I'm not going to use a staking. You don't have to, but if those screws come loose, you're screwed. It could jam up in the gun and not let it come out. It will cause gas leakage, which will cause short strokes, which will cause jams on your big match of the year.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. So, and you don't need to take the gas key off ever. So that's why people stake them on. It's like a semi-permanent way of like, this is never coming off again.
Red Loctite is not good enough?
Not red Loctite. You would need the high temp stuff because... it would get too hot. It would cook off the red stuff. I do have some high temp stuff, but I used my center punch on the like with a little bit of material, and I peened it in on the key, so it's not, or on the Allen keys, really Allen bolts.
That's one more thing I need to do. I kind of want a Raven Silver Gun, but anyway, Richard is commenting. They banned the tow missile, the javelin, and the stinger. So the range day is going to get boring. Sad,
how are we supposed to protect ourselves in an event of a Red American Dawn invasion. Event yeah. without the, American, the javelins?
Yeah. I don't know. Use your superior warrior spirit and your SKS with your spiky boys.
I guess.
We have an affiliate link to Cabela's and Brownells on the side of slamfireradio.com website. By using the link, you will support the show and we'll talk about your purchases anonymously at the end of the month. Hopefully, we'll keep up that tradition. We haven't done that for like half a year.
Yeah, we're back. Well, we're back. We got the link back.
Right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks to our support on Patreon Player. If you'd like to support us on, you can find us on Patreon Player, was Utreon, and Patreon. If you'd like to email the show, send them to slamfireradio@gmail.com. I think it's a progression curve. So you start commenting and then you start emailing and then you become a host. So I think Eddie is kind of in that development curve right now. So someone needs to start commenting. So when Eddie starts to email, we won't have a gap. Okay. That tends to work out. We have shout outs and recommendations. We'll go with Adriel first.
I was just hoping that Kyle has his day blessed by the mag seeding gods for his upcoming matches. He shared his video on the Discord and with us afterwards of his last match where the max seating was challenging.
That was rough. Should have got a drum so he got more impact.
Yeah,
all the way in happens. There. And he can have a full drum now. Kelly?
True. As I said, I wanted to give a shout out, huge shout out to Gallen, because he texted me and said, give me a shout out. So he's still listening. He's around the campfire right now. So, hi, Gallen. Miss you. Miss your face. Truly do. And that's about it. What about you, Tony?
Gallen, come on the show.
He said that nobody has invited him back. We're not supposed to invite him back.
Oh, anyway.
Kidding.
Okay, I'll give a shout out to our commenter on YouTube, Mark O'Connor. He says, keep up the good, keep it up, guys. Nice to have some Canadian gun talks. Thank you for commenting. Cool. And I have a recommendation for the, again, back to the Thompson Center comeback story. There was a podcast with WCB, the sounds like the worker compensating board, aboard the working class bow hunter. So they had a kind of podcasty interview thing with the TC new owner. So there'll be a little bit more information on how the, I don't know, when I hear about a topic I'm interested in, I start to go deep into it. So I thought it was interesting. So it's worth a recommend.
Cool.
Last call.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to sign off here. Join our Discord server. As I mentioned before, watch us on Facebook, YouTube, now Twitch. Well, maybe not today.
Twitch.
Player. Join the CCFR and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Later.
Good night.
March 17th. Mm-hmm.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.